So good morning. It's 6:35 a.m. on Monday, June the 3rd, 2019. Yeah, I think I've got those numbers right. It's a lovely day. It's a lovely morning. There's a little bit of high thin cloud directly overhead. There's a lot of sort of raggedy looking cirro cumulus or alto cumulus scattered around the periphery of the horizon here. It's nothing big right overhead at the moment anyway. I have a crease under the toe of my, the big toe of my right foot. My sock has a crease in it and it's just driving me mad. Well, another mile I can take the boot off and deal with it. I don't want to stop, I want to keep going. Maybe it'll work itself out. So today is therapy day, first day of this month. Well, the only day of this month, since I only go every 4 weeks. It's almost a twofer month, because today is so close to the beginning of the month. I go every 4 weeks. There will come a month, and it might be next month, that I'll go twice in 1 month, twice in the same calendar month, because I think July 1st is Monday. So the Colorado Gold Contest. The intake portion has finished up. I've got my first tranche of books to judge. That's pretty much all I'm allowed to say about it. I volunteered for a lot more than they gave me. I don't know if it's because they have that many judges or the number of submissions wasn't that much lower this year than last. Difference of 25 out of 200, so I don't know. We'll do them. Move on. The number is significant because I get credit for conference registration the more of them I do. And honestly, the credit is not going to offset much in terms of the cost of that convention, but I'm going to go. My friend Michael's going to be there. And a bunch of the friends that I missed seeing last year will be there. Honestly, the programming is problematic. There's a couple decent things on there. Topics that I am already pretty familiar with, but put on by people I know who are also familiar. We'll see how that looks. Maybe I'll go and just sit in the back and heckle or something. Duck. Way to bring me a very sharp duck. Which I always thought was a W.C. Fields line, but apparently it's Hudson and Landry. Comedy team from, I don't know, 50s, 60s. Put out albums where most of the skits were like Abbott and Costello. Two-man comedy team. the funny guy was always drunk. And in retrospect, listening to some of their pieces, because I was trying to find the Very Sharp Duck quote, listening to some of their pieces, it was like, okay, why is this funny? It was, I mean, don't get me wrong, I found it quite humorous in places. But why was it funny? I don't know. Yeah, God, my nose is running. And this is the coat, of course, that doesn't have any tissues or handkerchief or anything. So, yeah. I'm still reading Robert McKee's story. If you were... I posted a link. I didn't post a link to it. I think I posted a title a few days ago on the blog for the podcast, but it's Robert McKee, M-C-K-E-E. And the title is Story, and then there's a long secondary thing on the end of the title that has to do with story structure and screenwriting. And I'm still going through it, and I'm still finding interesting things that sort of make my brain go, and then I found myself questioning, okay, is this true? We're talking about the inciting incident now, and what an inciting incident is supposed to do, and how it's supposed to work from the audience standpoint. And remember, again, he's talking about screenwriting, he's talking about movies, but the idea of the story is still central to... I got a bug crawling on my glasses. It's tedious. But the idea of story is central to the novel. And I can see where a novella would translate to the screen way easier than a novel would. Because there's so much more in a novel. You have so much more room to put in subplots and secondary characters that have their own arcs and all the other things that make reading a novel, for me anyway, such a rich and rewarding experience. In a novella, you really got one arc, one story, one character. And it's shorter. So cutting it to 125 pages of script is a lot easier than cutting back a 400-page novel. 400-word, no. So it's interesting to read this and sort of transliterate it and transpose it. Transliterate. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's right, too. Transpose it in my brain, too, from screenwriting to novel writing. And, you know, defaulting to, okay, storytelling. Storytelling. We're all telling stories. It's just the medium we use to tell the story. And the McKee book is really... I mean, he starts at the beginning by talking about archetypes, not stereotypes. And so he's really talking about the archetype story. He's talking about an evaluation of a variety of different stories, each of which has its own particular and peculiar shape, but all of which have the same characteristics of story. The thrilling conclusion at the end. The inciting incident, much fabled in story and song. The part where the audience picks up the through line, picks up the main thrust of the story, and begins to follow along to find out how the characters get from this beginning instant to what must be a final resolution, and for good or ill. And so it's really interesting to see how he sort of breaks that down. It's like, okay, in Jaws it comes pretty early. I think in Taxi Driver it comes pretty late. He had a bunch of movies that he used as exemplars of places where the inciting incident happens and why it happens in that place. Get ready. Say it with me. Monk pose. So it's an interesting challenge for me to go back and say, okay, do I have an inciting incident? I go back to Quarter Share a lot because it's the first book. It's the one where I knew the least about what I was doing in terms of technical aspects, in terms of technique, in terms of what we would loosely call craft. It was the one that I have the least knowledge about how to tell a story. It's all pretty much organic. It's like, okay, this is what I think a story should look like. And a whole lot of people agree with me. But the inciting incident happens in the second paragraph, with the cops knocking out the door. Oh, spoiler alert, cops knocking on the door in the second paragraph. And it does go through to a conclusion that stems directly from that. And Ishmael has to overcome several things along the way. And I used to think there was no first act in this, that there was no, that the first act was largely happened before the cops knocked at the door. But in going back and looking at the story again, it doesn't. That's not true. The first act ends when he meets Alice Chacon and joins the crew of the Loves. That's the I can't go back again moment. That's the place where he steps into the new world from his old. And the third act may be the weakest one. The third act may not be there. There may not be an actual third act. Or perhaps it's when he decides that he's going to organize the crew to put together the mercantile cooperative. And there's a rather long third act with a short denouement as the crew rolls out toward the flea market to put on their first McKendrick mercantile collective. Event. So the pieces are all there. It's fascinating to me to go back through and look at some of this early stuff that I did back in 2007, when I really didn't have any idea about craft, and just followed my nose, followed my gut in terms of, okay, what has to happen? What are we going to do here? And there is a lot of stuff where, in the middle, yeah, there's a lot of real mush in the middle. There's a lot of not really good writing in the middle of that book. But overall, from a critical standpoint, it stands up pretty well. It's not a great book, not by any means. But it certainly resonates with audiences, so. It also clunks. A few people, it just clunks on the head and they go, no, I'm good with that. Because there are a lot of people who would pick up a romance novel and read the first three pages and go, no, or see a romance novel on table and say, nope. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to say no. I don't, you know, that's okay. It's not that I don't care about those people, it's just that I don't write for those people, so it's fine. Yeah. These are not the readers you seek. Move along. Oh, I love coming out here this early. But tomorrow I'm not going to wear a sweatshirt under the windbreaker because it's just too much. I'm sweating up a storm here. I should have time to go home and get this posted before I have to go. Therapy's not until 9. It's, I don't think it's even 7 o'clock yet. 6:51. No, it's, I'm good. 16 minutes. But I love coming out this time of day because the light is so dramatic. There's, you know, the sun is still low on the horizon, although it's climbing. It's climbing fast. I don't know what the temperature is supposed to be today. But the sun is shining on one side of the trees, and the other side of the trees are shadows, long dark shadows. Gotta make this turn going north here. Sun's shining in from my right hand side, and the grass, which is, I think I mentioned yesterday, it's and this piece is actually up to my shoulder. And so there's this long shadow fringe from the edge of the sidewalk out onto the asphalt. There's a street light here, which is a new street light, by the way. And the shadow stretches all the way across this really wide street, and a little lighting fixture shadow is actually on the lawn across the street. So there's these fingers of shadow reaching across. Makes me think of the opening of Tannis Fairport. Of Ravenwood. That's another one that I look at and say, okay, how did I do that? Was that a problem? Because it's a cliche that you start the story with the character waking up in the morning. Yeah, I got that. It's a cliche. And it starts out, the first chapter is she walks to the village. So in Dean Wesley Smith's terms, it would be, I'm walking to the story. And in a certain sense, that's true. Would I change it? I would. If I ran a story today, would I have a different opening? Even knowing what I know about craft, even knowing what I know about cliche, even knowing what I know about story, would I change it? And the answer is, I don't think so. Because the pace of that beginning is on purpose. Because I wanted that sort of relaxed, pastoral, almost dreamlike opening to set the tone for what was going to happen later. To set the pace at a low enough level that I had room to lift it later without having to stop the story to give people a chance to catch their breath. So I don't know, I don't think I would. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.